three thoughts: reality, reasoning, resolve. During the watch night service of 2015, it was a day when one of our brethren went home to be with the Lord, and we were there coming together to remember how God has brought us through the year of grace 2015 as we look forward to the year 2016. 5 months later, we begin the study of the book of Ecclesiastes. And the message was this: remember now thy Creator. Today, we have completed 40 messages out of this book, and it is good for us to do a recap at this time, what we have been studying all this time, that we may take home the lessons, and that they may be implanted deeply in our hearts, so that the wisdom that Solomon would like to impart to us may be solidly founded in the recesses of our heart, so that when we are challenged in life, we have a foundation whereby we are able to live our life. And that's so important. So we have said that King Solomon is the writer of this book, and that he writes this book in his old age. You know, old age is a time when you come back, you look back in life, and you ponder about life, and you ponder about the experiences of life, because you have looked at life, you have lived it, and you have certain reflections concerning what life is. For Solomon, in the evening years of his life, he wants to teach us the futility of worldly ambitions and desires apart from God. He says, in short, a godless life doesn't satisfy the human soul, as Jesus said. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Very critical, pertinent words. And yet, you see so many take these words lightly. Even in the Church of Jesus Christ, we would rather exchange our soul for the world. And it's a sad reality that we see. Well, it causes much grief, right, to see men and women moving headlong to self-destruction, self-delusion. And yet, we see that it is so real that choices are being made and men and women are going that way. And that's why Solomon wrote this book. The word Ecclesiastes means preacher, one who gathered wisdom to speak about life. And he tells us his credentials, why his message is worthy of our attention. He says that God has given him the opportunity to experience it all. He was king in Jerusalem during the golden age of Israel, and he had at his disposal great resources to experiment, pursue, and see this earthly, worldly life, which he called life under the sun, or life under heaven. And he saw the fruitlessness and the futility of worldly ambitions and desires without God. And he uses the word vanity, which he carefully chose to use and repeat throughout the book to epitomize such a life. And so he says, vanity of vanities. And it's said that there are men and women would choose still to go that way of vanity and lament. If you were to make an evaluation, you would see that this so-called lamentation is a heart, is a true reflection of an unrepentant heart, and a true reflection of a heart still attached to the world. And Solomon had to put it in a very clear way. And he says, what profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? Can there be any real value or meaning in man's labor on this earth that is apart from God? The answer is no. And then the question is asked, why is this so? Well, Solomon is saying to us concerning things of value, and he's asking us to evaluate our value system. Why is it important for us to know that value system? Well, I was visiting a man, and I see in the house a set of Toto numbers, and I see on top, well, a pendant, right? And I see that, you know, there is that desire to seek gain. The Bible tells us that idolatry is covetousness. Idolatry is covetousness. Man wants to satisfy his lust. And if he cannot get it, well, he would do whatever, make whatever concoction he has through his own imagination in order to get what he wants. And this, we said, is self-delusion. But if you were to look around us, you see that the world is living in that way. Many households have these gods with them. And it seemed so impossible, you know, for Solomon to try to drum in, explain a true philosophy that would help the people. And so he tried, right? He has done so 11 chapters. That's why we are here now at the end of the book, chapter 12. In order that we may be able to see the futility of things. And you see, the relevance of the book of Ecclesiastes is that the people living in this age, we have said this before, live like kings, right, with the advancement of technology, air travel, communications, industrialization, we have a quality of life that perhaps only kings in the past will experience. And we see in the years to come, right, with the rise of China, Asia, and all the opportunities that is before us, well, there is advancement in every field, right? Knowledge is multiplied, and you know, technology is such that well, you can now, you know, make the next memory storage from the DNA. And the amount of data that you can store is phenomenal. And we said that, yeah, we are in an age where there is a phenomenal multiplication of knowledge. And it's as if, you know, we are that wise. It's as if we are that in control of life, and we are much in control of the things of life. But Solomon tells us to consider the reality. Right? Three thoughts, we said. The reality, the reasoning, the resolve. Right? Verse 1c, verse 1b, verse 1a. Okay? Verse 1c. When thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. What was Solomon saying? Well, Solomon is painting for us the reality of the end of a man's life. How he becomes weak. How his teeth are few. How eating becomes a burden. Okay. Right, that's verse 2 to verse 5. How the eyes grow dim, how the eye slowly loses its strength, how we need a cataract operation, we said before, and very soon we need a magnifying glass, and how the hands and the feet grow weak, and they tremble like the Parkinson's disease, and the old man suffers from insomnia. That's what Solomon is describing here of old age. The voice is crackling and unstable, unsteady, and singing a song is no longer possible. You know, and while we are able to praise God and sing, right, that's our privilege. That's our the strength that God gives to us. And then they develop what is called acrophobia, afraid of height. Climbing up the stairs would be a problem. Looking down from a tall building, taking a plane ride, are terrors in the way. Then somehow there is a loss of self-confidence in the daily movements. They're afraid to go out alone, afraid to go out in the night. And Solomon gives the example of the blooming almond tree to picture for us the white hair. First, it is rich in quantity and mass. Then after that, it starts falling to the ground. Isn't it not true? Are you experiencing the losing of your hair? You know, The grasshopper is a burden, he says. Even the lightest objects are too heavy to hold, right? You get your backache. You hold something a little bit too heavy, you walk a little bit longer, you get a backache. Okay. And you take a long time to recover. Desires fail. Natural appetites diminish and cease. Food no longer has flavor or zest. The basic drives fizzles out. Sexual vigor is gone. The degenerative process takes place because man is going to his long-lasting home of death and the grave. And very soon, the funeral, the possession moving down the street. So Solomon says, a good name is better than precious ointment. The day of death than the day of one's birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to heart. So Solomon is telling us that, you know, while we have time to evaluate life, let us understand how life ought to be lived. And so he says, then the dust returned to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. So life reaches the end. The man that was there with us yesterday, today is no longer with us. So Solomon is speaking about the brevity of life. How we must all die, and how none of us can escape. So he tells us the reality. And we must be in tune and in touch with this, you see, so that we may be able to live our lives now preparing for the future to come. So the reasoning he gave in 1b, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh. So he's telling us first the end of life, right? What it is like. Okay. And then he tells us that while it is not yet time, while you still have time, while you still have time, he says, verse 5 and 6, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. So, the advice of Solomon is that we are to remember the Creator before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. He's saying that, you know, before we lose our faculties. And you recall when we were studying chapter 2, in verses 14 to 16, Solomon tells us, right, that there is that impasse that would come to a man's life. And he tells us that that is an ultimate impasse. No wisdom seemed to be able to overcome or conquer. That's the sting of death. And it's frightening when you have to go through it yourself. But when you see others going through it, sometimes, you know, you can take a step. It causes you to take a step back and causes you to evaluate and think for yourself. And so Solomon is telling us, let's reason. Okay. While the evil days come not. Ecclesiastes 2:14 to 16, he tells us, the wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. Then said I in my heart, as it happened to the fool, so it happened even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, that this also is vanity. For there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever, seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. How dieth the wise man? As the fool. So he says that, can I be any wiser in the light of this inevitable event that will happen both to the wise and to the fool? So on earth, the wise man is no more remembered than the fool. With time, men forget even the great men, and how the wise men have to die, even as a fool. So he lamented, what is the difference? And therefore he concluded that he was disillusioned with life as he pursues it with an earthly perspective. And it's so good that Solomon is willing to truthfully, honestly share with us those things that are meaningless, so that we may see, so that we may, in a sense, we said, wise up, and we may not, you know, go after those things that we ought not go after. That we be not disappointed, you see. That we will, at the end of that life journey, look back and say that I have no regrets concerning this time, this life that I have lived. And he's saying to us here that while you still have time, you can still make good of the time that God has for you remaining. We don't know how long, how much life we have. But he's telling us, right, the wise and the fool cannot escape death. So he says, I try to live wisely, and I try to live foolishly, and even to go after madness. So he says, the wise and the fool will have to die anyway. Is there a difference whether you are a wise man or a fool? And that's why there was a famous Chinese philosopher called Lin Yutang. I don't know if you have read his book, but he would advocate a hedonist attitude. If everything is going to be like that, right, might as well enjoy your life while you can, right? Because beyond that, what is there? Right? So there are those who would say, let's, you know, not worry so much at all. Let's just let go, let loose, and let live. Solomon is teaching us the concept of value and meaning in life. So he says that if death ends everything, then he's right to conclude that he hated life. And, you know, that man, that philosopher, that Chinese philosopher, is right to say, let's live and enjoy and do what we want, however we want. Let's not care anymore. But that's not what it ought to be, Solomon says. Death doesn't end all. So we said, if you take a peek at the end of the book, Solomon revealed that there is such a truth as God's judgment. And he says that we are to listen and hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So he tells us that there is an eternity to our present action. And there is a way to live our present life in view of the eternity to come. So, although every man perishes one day, but there is a difference, he's telling us. And live that life to make a difference that would truly bring eternal benefit to yourself. So he tells us that we have to evaluate how we are, our value system, because how we look at the things which are valuable to us will determine how we are going to use our energy and life to do the things that we are doing. Because we are all into a mold already. The world, the society, conforms us to a mold. But Solomon is saying to us that, you know, at times you have to move against the grind. You have to take yourself out. And you have to consider that you may not necessarily have, you know, having to follow what everyone would do in this world as a norm. Your value system must not be a Broadway system. Steve Jobs, the founder of Apple Corporation, like Solomon, hated life because he saw that he could not carry his achievements with him at his death, when he was all hooked up with tubes all over him. With all his wealth, power and might, he could not buy time. And you know, the book of Genesis tells us the life of men, 120 years. And the scientific study have been done, and you know, it is said that scientists saw that there is a limit there. And, you know, they could not cross that limit. Somehow there is that burial there. And, you know, whatever wisdom that they could think of, they could not go beyond it. Right? God has set that limit there. Right? So with all his wealth and power and might, he could not buy time. If he could use his earthly resources to buy life, he would have spent every cent he has to prolong his life. But he was without choice when death knocks. Solomon was clearly discouraged when he pursued to the end the logic of life under the sun. He says he hated life. What is the use of living when everything is so transient? Thank God, Solomon was given heavenly wisdom that death does not end all. Right, Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. And so if you have understood this, then what must you do? We said, the three thoughts that we bring before you: the reality, the reasoning, and now the resolve. He says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And this is where we want to emphasize tonight. All the other parts you have heard before. Okay, but this is where we want to speak about. Right? We said, young people should remember their Creator before the sunset time of life. When the days are difficult and cruel, and the years are totally lacking in pleasure and enjoyment. And I quote Charles Bridges, he observed, he says, be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Yet, there is one season of special application, the days of thy youth. Here, however, the great enemy meets us with the ungodly adage, youth for pleasure, age for business, and old age for religion. So what he says is this, let the devil have the prime and God the dregs. Time enough to think of religion when we are old. Wait till you retire. Wait till you retire. Then you think about serving God. Have you ever heard this before? Well, this is what Charles Bridges is saying to us. When we can serve the world no longer, then let us serve God. But now is the time for pleasure, to see as much of life as we can. Religion will come in cost. Bridges says, frightful delusion, the delusion of him who is a liar and the father of it. John 8:44. And if you haven't seen it, then you'll find that you will be disappointed by it later on. And so he further challenges his listeners. He says, who then shall have the present now, the only sure part of life, if any man can show a better title to youth than God? Let him bring it. And he says, meanwhile, the call is, let manner be gathered early in the day. Let youth days be choice days, choosing days. He says that while you are young, choose well. Oh, what a mercy when the two masters are claiming our service, to be enabled to make the choice, not as the slave of sin, but the happy child of God, the youthful witness for his name. Is it so difficult? Yes, it's difficult. Because the whole world all goes that way. When you choose to live differently, we said you are going against the grind of society. And there will be many puzzling looks asking you, what are you doing? Well, if our foundations are not firm, then, you know, we would be shaky. If thou wilt have God to pity and to help thee in evil days, thou must serve him in thy good days. Old age, with all its train and rectitude of weakness and infirmities, will come. Since old age will be evil days, lay up as many graces as thou can to sweeten it, as many comforts as thou can to strengthen thy heart against the evil of it. If you read the Psalms, you'll find how the psalmist give encouragement to the people of God. In Psalm 41, verses 1 to 3, it says, blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. And he shall bless thee, or he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. Recently we have been asked to pray. Pray for someone who is in a bed of languishing, you know, that there may be comfort. And so we quoted a verse like that. What is God saying here? God is saying that while you have time, do good. While you have time, serve him. Serve his people. So that when the time comes that you are old, or when you are sick, you find that God will be the one who will make your bed. In the sense that, you know, when you are there lying on the bed, a very pitiful sight, right? And you can't, you know, in the sense you can't change your bed sheet. You can't make that movement. You depend on others, you know, to do all this for you. And what the psalmist is saying here is that the Lord will strengthen you during those times. So while you have life, while you have strength, be a blessing. So that when the time comes, you do not have strength anymore, the Lord will be your blessing. The Lord will take care of you. And we all go through that inevitable, you know, we all reach that inevitable outcome. And so Bridges says, since old age are evil days, will be evil days, lay up as many graces as thou can to sweeten it, as many comforts as thou can to strengthen thy heart against the evil of it. So the aspiration of every young person, here is expressed here in this poem. Lord, in the fullness of thy might, I would for thee be strong. While runneth over each dear delight, to thee soar shall should soar my song. I would not give the world my heart and then profess thy love. Would not feel my strength depart and then thy service prove. I would not with swift wing zeal on the world's errands go and labor up the heavenly hill with weary feet and slow. Right? The things of God, the things that make for eternity, we drag our feet to do. But the things of the world, well, we run with great enthusiasm. Oh, not for thee, my weak desires, my poorer, baser part. Oh, not for thee, my fading fires, the ashes of my heart. Oh, choose me in my golden time, in my dear joys have part. For thee, the glory of my prime, the fullness of my heart. Thomas H. Jill. Old age is a time when the lights grow dim, both physically and emotionally. The days are dreary and the nights are long. Gloom and depression settle in. These words from Solomon in verses 1 to 7 is a prayer, I believe, that a new generation would re-evaluate their value system, whether it will stand the test of time. Evaluate our heart. Why we are doing what we are doing and how we are doing what we are doing. Whether it will stand the test of time. So important, isn't it? Solomon gives to us such wonderful wisdom because he has experienced it and he was willing to bare his heart to share it. Reality, verse 1c. Reasoning, verse 1b. Resolve, verse 1a. What is the resolve? Well, remember now thy Creator. So the adverb is now. Live the life that God wants you to live. And let every moment count for eternity. Wow. So great, isn't it? Yeah, so great. If we would do so, how much can we accomplish? How much more can we accomplish? The Lord wants us to be, you know, productive for eternity. And to do so, we must strip ourselves of all the encumbrances. Encumbrances of the heart, encumbrances of the mind, encumbrances of the external disturbances that comes. And may we be focused to remember what God would want us to do. He says, remember now thy Creator. And next week we will conclude. Fear God and keep his commandments. What does it mean by that? Let us pray. Father, we want to thank thee for showing to us out of Solomon's enlightenment by the Spirit, how we ought to live our life, how this present life is precious, because it has great, vast, eternal value that we can claim at eternity's end. Lord, may thou be gracious to grant to thy people a good perspective and a willingness to serve thee. Lord, we remember Lot's wife. We remember Lot. We remember those who would have perished because of the influence of this worldly life. We remember Abraham, who was willing to see eternity and was willing to sojourn, walking, looking for the heavenly city. Lord, grant us that eternal perspective. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.